Okay, I've got 10:05 in order to establish a quorum. Ms. Carnegie, would you call the roll, please?
Commissioner Manchin.
Here.
Commissioner Matthews. Doug Miller.
Here.
Commissioner Taylor.
Here.
Commissioner Webb.
Here.
Noting that all members of the court are present, there was an agenda that was filed at 9:58 a.m. Last Friday, May 16th. That agenda contained the signatures of three individuals. However, there were no names. Under the provisions of Texas Local Government Code, Section 81.005B, either the three commissioners or a county judge may call a special, regular or special term of the court, which I believe was what the intent was of the filing of that agenda. However, 81.005B does not prevent any member of the court to be able to place an item on the agenda. Those instructions are covered in the Rules of Procedure, Conduct, and Decorum at the meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court, adopted by this court on April 26, 2022, in which an agenda is compiled and organized for each meeting by the county judge or judge pro tem and filed with the county clerk. That did not happen. On the advice of legal counsel, I was advised to conduct the meeting to give every commissioner the opportunity to express their desires during the meeting and to but to not participate. So I will follow that legal advice. And subsequently, there will be a filing of findings of facts and conclusions of law. So with that, Commissioner Taylor, were you one of the commissioners that signed the agenda?
Yep.
Okay, very good. And when was it that you determined that we need to have this meeting?
Say that again.
When was it that you determined we need to have this meeting?
When I got, it was about 8:50.
Okay.
That morning.
8:50 on Friday morning? All right, very good. Commissioner Weddle, I would ask you the same question. Did you sign as one of the members of the...
Yes, sir. That's my name on there.
Okay. And when did you determine?
It's not relevant, Judge. This is not an inquiry. This is a commissioner's report. I would also state that I believe our executive assistant was requested to produce this. She is your executive assistant also. So her failure to contact you about a proposed report is not our fault.
I made no comment concerning contacting me about a meeting.
Okay. But you said all members didn't have the opportunity.
Correct.
But you were aware of it.
When the agenda was filed, okay. Yes. Okay. So there was no specific time where...
No.
Okay, very good. Commissioner Matthews, I would ask you the same question. That is that your signature on the on this filed agenda?
It appeared to be my signature.
Okay, very good. And at what point did you determine that this meeting need to be held? Okay. Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you. So with that, we have a quorum established. Next item would be an invocation. Does some member of the court or anyone present want to give the invocation this morning?
Sure, I will, Judge. Heavenly Father, we just come here today, and as always, I just ask to give thanks. Thanks for this beautiful earth and planet that we live on, that you allow us to live every single day, and hopefully we live under your will. Just want to thank you for living in the greatest United States of America, affords us all the freedoms and opportunities. I want to thank you for living in the great state of Texas, the best state in the union. And last but not least, I want to thank you for letting us and allowing us to live in Coryell County, the best county in the United States and the state of Texas. We thank you for the rain, and we just pray for all of your livestock and animals. And we say all this in your precious Lord's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
The next item on this agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number five, which is discuss a backup internet option for the Leon Street Annex.
Yes, we received an email from one of the IT internet technology companies that we use. We're notified that the internet was down at the new annex. There was a cut line, not exactly sure where it was, but there was a cut line. Visiting with the staff over there, this is, I believe, the third time that issues or loss of internet has happened, although a speed issue. So it's more or less it needed to be discussed to where everyone is aware and that a process may need to be in place to address it rapidly. I'm not sure. I know they can't create a cut line necessarily, but their speed could be an issue. So the tech company recommended something, but it's more just to put it out there for everybody to be aware of it. And I mean, because it's going to eventually feed over to the sheriff's office, I believe.
Yeah, and I don't know what the. So ask the question, do any of our other facilities have redundant or backup internet?
So we do. This facility where the fiber runs in, and we have NextLink backup.
Okay.
So if fiber goes down this building, NextLink kicks in, and the internet continues to work that building.
I'm sorry, it's NextLink, is that cellular?
That is the little plug.
Right.
Yes. It's
yeah, cellular.
Yes.
Okay.
So, the long-term plan down there was to have, I think they did two different drop locations for fiber. My understanding is there's only one fiber company that currently has fiber there at one of our corners, which is what we're connected to. Somebody dug up the line last week, whenever it was. Didn't call dig test, dug up the line. So, there were a lot of internet dips down. So, the problem with NextLink is if the antenna that you get your NextLink from is also serviced by that fiber, it doesn't do you any good because that will be down as well. So I don't know, my understanding is that all the NextLinks are fed by fiber connections that they, you know, sell out through their radio waves. So last week before last, whenever they dug up this line, F8 was down as well. They have, well, their fiber was down as well, but they have Starlink.
Yeah.
It's their backup internet. That's what they recommend that we put in down here because we don't have another fiber carrier immediately adjacent to our building presently that they know of. They said there's one or two that are making plans to or pretty close to. They don't believe there's anybody there yet. So last week, when the internet was down, the week before, like whenever it was, when the internet was down at the new building, I called F8 and they answered the phone. And they said, well, ours is down too. And I said, Well, that's funny because I'm talking to you. And I said, well, I got it kicked over to backup. So the I talked to Brent Wolf this morning to get just an idea about what Starlink costs because I had no idea. And he said that the hardware and labor to install it would be about $2,500. And we could get about $150 a month plan, which is 500 gigs initially. And I don't understand exactly how this works, but at some point, if you exceed that during the billing period, you can top off. So I guess it comes in increments after that. So he said that's not the plan you would want if that's what you were running on all the time, but it's fine for a backup plan. So the other day when the fiber got cut and they had to switch over to Starlink, they didn't go over 50 gigs in one day with 17 employees there. So the chances of us going over 50 gigs in a day and being down for more than 10 days is probably, you know, slim to none. Even, you know, even when we get cut over, when the sheriff's department gets cut over to that. So that was his recommendation. That's him and Nick's recommendation weeks ago was go to Starlink, go back to it down there. The Big Leaf hardware is in place. It is the hardware that automatically switches you over when you go down. It is in place down there already. It's installed. It's in the building, hooked up, ready to go. It's just a matter of having the other internet in there to plug into it. But the that device and software is in place, and we've already paid for it to have the automatic switch over. So if that's, we could, so I asked him last week, I talked to Nick about it and asked him about the next link option, because that was what we had talked about before, was maybe just moving the next link connection from the sheriff's office over to that. And that's what Nick had told me last week was, he said, well, that's fine unless the antenna that you're getting your next link service from is serviced by the same fiber that they cut, and then you're out.
Okay.
So that's the reason he told me to talk to him about Starlink, which, of course, I accomplished this morning about 8:45. So that's, if y'all are interested in that, I'll get a quote from them, or a little contract or whatever Starlink has to offer in that regard for y'all to consider on the 27th, if that is an option y'all want to consider.
Yeah, when I heard about this, I looked at Starlink, and it's the flat performance kit, I guess, which is the dish, if you want to call it. It's actually on sale right now. It's normally $24.99, and it's on sale for $14.99 for business. And then, I was surprised. You can get up to 2 terabyte for $540 a month. You know, so really, it's appears to be a pretty affordable backup. Because we'd have to take into account not just the court would be using this at that time, but all the users in the sheriff's office too. So we may need to up.
And so the speed issue that they're experiencing presently over there, there have been about, I don't want to exaggerate too much, but I'm going to say 30 or 40 emails in the last 10 days regarding that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something going on with EDOC. It looks to me like, from reading all the emails, EDOC's been involved in the email chains as well, because there's so many of them. I haven't been involved in them, but let's get them all. Mm-hmm. And there's some temporary files that are being created that are not, and there's something going on.
So it's possibly EDOC versus the internet.
And so I don't think it is a internet speed issue. I think there is an issue, but I don't think it's an internet speed issue. But the people that are supposed to know all that have been arguing about it for about 10 days now, maybe close to 2 weeks. And I'm no closer to understanding what the problem is than I was the first email I read. But they're working on it.
Well, that's a good news, bad news.
Does it work?
We're not stuck with slow internet. We're just stuck with all the internal processes.
Yes, I think unless somebody digs up the cable, I think the internet's working fine.
Yeah. But
we'll see. So if y'all want me to get something from them regarding the, obviously most of that $2,500 is getting the dish, putting it on the roof, running the wires down, plugging it in, getting it all set up, working. Spent $150 a month for the 500 gigs, and that's the way I understand it. We can up it at any time we need to, and for now, they think Brent said 500 is plenty, even if it's just backup, even when the sheriff's office comes on board.
Because y'all, okay, I like the voice over internet protocol phones, but that's the other bad thing about those.
Sure. Yes.
When the internet goes down, so do your phone. Yeah, they say the local priority 500 gigabytes is $165. 1 terabyte is 290. And then, as I said, the 2 terabytes, 540. So even they say 500 is for 2 to 4 users, but I'm sure they're.
That's, you know, that's, well, that's probably for a month. That's probably for the billing period. Because Brent said the other day when they ran for one day in their office, 17 employees did not use 50 gigs that day.
Yeah.
Now, of course, if it would have been down for 10 days, that would have been closer to 500. But yeah, they just use it strictly for backup also. They have a fiber connection. It's like we do over here. Same provider, same line, apparently, because they were out and ours got cut down here.
I would think we need to talk to them.
Yeah.
We need.
Okay, well, I will get us a details for the 27th for Starlink. Yes.
Excellent.
I think that's I think that's our best option. It sounds to me like based on how it's like get service.
Yes. Yeah. I have nothing further. So, Judge, I didn't quite understand your role here today. Are you going to move the meeting along, or do we need to?
I just need y'all to tell me when you're finished with an item.
I'm finished with that item.
I am.
Me
as well.
Me too.
Okay, moving on to item number 6 on the agenda, which is consider RFP for employee health insurance.
Yeah, we talked about that in last meeting. We're kind of in a time crunch. I know there's been an attorney and HR and treasurer's office and all working on this. I think it's been reviewed, fixed, and I think it's ready to go.
You're going through this RFP. What's that? Give you people what we got here. This article now.
They can go through it 14 times, but the rookie created it.
I have a few questions. So I changed the date from originally one of the previous drafts. I had like June 9th there for return date. I don't know if we can get them back by June 16th. I think that's a conversation we can have with somebody how fast we think we can get responses from vendors. I have no idea how long it's going to take a vendor to get a response together for this. I don't know how long we give them the
Irregardless
of what we do, whether we change vendors or not, we have to have open enrollment in August. So we can start taking money out of paychecks in September for the October coverage. So we've got to make a decision in July. In my opinion. So we could push that date back some. I also don't know how long it's going to take to get all the data from our current provider to divide these proposed respondents. If we don't get those for another 10 days, then I do not believe that June 16th is going to work. I think we will have to push that back. So I think that if the court give the treasurer the authority to issue this RFP upon presentation of that data from our current provider and adjust the date accordingly, best we can, then I think that would be fine. The board can focus today on the request. So there are two things. Yeah, probably more than two, but let's just start with two. So currently our insurance coverage max out of pocket and deductible on a calendar year. I have no idea how, when, or why we went to a calendar year when our contract for service with our provider is on a fiscal year. I just don't know. I have no idea. And I don't know how you deal with that if you change plans. I have no idea. I don't know what to put in here to address that issue. I put in here the fact that our current deal is on a calendar year. I don't know whether I should put anything in there. So it's on page 11. Under objectives, please note the county's deductible out of pocket maximum, but based on calendar year, not plan year. So the one that I got this out of, for sure, said are based on fiscal year, not plan year. It may have said contract year. I don't remember exactly what it said. But I don't know how you reconcile that if you change plan, if you change providers, or even change plans, change your max out of pocket. I don't know how you do that. You might change your max out of pocket with a new plan that starts October 1st and you're 9 months into a current year. I don't know how a provider handles that. Maybe previously mentioned, I'm not a healthcare attorney. I have no idea. So I don't know what to try to put in there besides, I don't know. So right now it says, please note the county's deductible out of pocket maximum are based on calendar year, not plan year.
Brandon, as of right now, we have no deductible, so it would just really be out of pocket.
Out of pocket.
Yes, at this moment.
Oh, that paragraph. That's the one that said objectives that we read last time. that I shortened it up because the other one had some stuff in there about 11-month and 23-month contracts and various things. I took that stuff out, but didn't think it was applicable. We put that in there as our objective.
So, Mr. McFarland, so, I mean, I understand his articles and then out of pocket to think that I don't think I've ever.
You.
Yeah, got to that.
I know.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
So out of pocket, they're in our plan currently, there's a max out of pocket, correct?
Yes, 3,000 a member, 6,000 the same.
And then what is the benefit to the employee once that out of pocket is met?
They don't owe any that I am aware of. It's the max out of pocket.
Right.
You're asking questions I was not noting.
No, right. That's fair. I mean, I'm just trying, I understand where, you know, Mr. Belt's going because, you know, we reset in October. There could be people who have met their out of pocket.
And then
they have to start over.
And that's what I was with Dawson Christen, if we have asked for the calendar year or if we can request the full year, I don't know that option because it's always been calendar year with Scott Mott, but we've never gone outside of Scott Mott. So we don't have that answer currently. And that's what I told Brandon. I don't know that off the top of my head. I do know that we are calendar year because I did verify that with what we currently have.
I'm sure because I would assume that contractually Scott Dwight is obligated to service us until December 31st. They're saying calendar year.
I think our contract, that's part of the confusion. I think our contract ends with them September 30th.
Our plan year is fiscal year, but our deductible and out of pocket is calendar year. So at some point, there's going to be, if we either switch and go to a different company, there is going to be a gap there of 3 months where either, I don't know what the new company, you know, I don't know if their calendar or fiscal year, but there is a chance of that will change.
Sounds like something that was set many, many, many years ago, and it's just been riding that way.
And I do know that other, you know, there are other counties that are calendar year for their plans. So I don't know how, like, if that's what Scott Black has adopted as their norm, the calendar year instead of the school year. I don't know if that answer for you. And that was the conversation with Brandon and I.
I think that was a misconstruction.
I get it. It's the, yeah, how we got into that crap is really what.
Yeah, you know, our person, she's very willing to give us answers as she's getting these reports ready for us. I can always ask that and just see what the answer is from Scott and Watt and see if that's, you know, what the norm is or if that's industry wide or if that's just Scott and Watt.
So you don't think that was something that was set by the county years ago for payroll, auditing, you know, audits office or something?
I don't know what it was. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what
benefit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why we would want it that way.
Right.
Nothing that we do in our normal besides paying the bill every month. But that doesn't, the deductible and all that doesn't affect it.
The only thing I can figure is that we used to have a calendar year contract with them. and we backed it up to the beginning of the fiscal year, so it didn't adversely affect our employees at the time to stay on the calendar year deductible and out of pocket. If we would have backed it up, it would have adversely affected them, so we just chose to stay on calendar year when we backed it up. But now this has been this way since at least 2005, so it was, I have no idea when and where and how it happened. That's the only thing I can think of, is that we used to be on calendar year contract with them. We moved back to fiscal year, and because we backed up at that time, it didn't adversely affect our employees to stay on the calendar year. But now it will,
if we move providers
back.
As long as we stay with the same provider, it would. But sooner or later, it seems like that needs to be addressed. First thought is, oh, we'll do it later, but yeah.
Have no idea how to fix it. I don't even know who to call to ask.
Yeah.
But we need to call a guy that might know a guy. I don't know.
I can email Scott Light and just ask and go to him. I think we need to get it with our plan if we can. It makes it easier to explain it to employees. Your plan is October to September. That's what your deductions and everything, I mean, your deductible and everything is.
Hey, and if you don't mind, if it's not, because I know when we deal with healthcare, HIPAA and all that, if it's convenient, could you include the whole court and Mr. Bell in that question and answer period so we can kind of stay live? Okay. Thank you. And it may be one of those other things. We don't know. And I think in the census, we'll know how many people that actually.
We have that ready. We're currently just waiting for all the reports back from Scott and Wyatt that we have asked for. What I was telling Mr. Bell this morning is, we kind of copied what Bell County did just because they're graciously sent it to us. They have the list of exhibits that are in there. We may not have all of those because they had multiple plans where they had HMO, PPO, or different things like that. We may not have all those reports, so all of these exhibits that are listed here, we may have to adjust based on what Scott and Mike gives us. We've asked for those as of Tuesday of last week after court, so we're hoping to get those sooner than later.
But you said you've got all the data. So at some point, we know as of today, we would know how many people have met their out of pocket.
The census we have is currently as of April 30th, of our have coverage and what coverage they have. It's only an internal thing, not a. Right. I mean, Scott and I could provide us the same thing, but they don't know how many employees we have. We have, it shows every single employee that we have, what coverage they have, without name, we've redacted, all that. So that's what we have ready.
To me, that'd be, the first step for me. I'd like to know how many people are at that level and how many are getting close to that level. And then, do we make provisions for covering that for 90 days or...
So I can tell you that years ago, we changed at my previous employer and changed back to Scott and White from another company. And those people who met their end of year criteria or their total amount, Scott and White for years for Bell County started in November 1st instead of October 1st because of that other contract ran out at October 31st. So your out-of-pocket maximum ended on that date. So that's when Scott and White started their term. So every year when we signed up in October, we were starting
to change the
right. It moved it around so that the new company took over after everybody's out of pocket maximum for the year was ended.
I hope this was the hardest one. You said you had several. I hope this was
two. Oh, I said I had two.
Okay. Two. A couple.
I don't know if the reports we asked for have those numbers on there, but we can definitely ask that the day when we get back up to our offices.
I mean, anytime we talk about something, you know, we might not be talking about a big, you know, out of the 200 or whatever, you know, there might be a very small number of people that are fit that window. And, you know, either the county can make provisions for it or our new provider that we put in there that they have grandfather in their out of pocket or something like that. I don't know if they'd be willing.
So I think that's my thought was we needed to address that, how we put something in here about how we wanted them to address that in your proposal.
Yeah.
But somebody's gonna have to help you come up with how to word that based on what our options are. Bell County has the benefit of having a benefits trust that manages part of theirs. And so I have no idea how all that works, thank God. But so they have other resources to manage things. But we have resources, so we needed to. I don't know how exactly we would need to set it up, but we certainly could fix it.
Yeah.
And Christina, we have a benefits trust too, but we don't have it like Bell County does. Yeah. It was just paperwork to get a equal count. I mean,
yeah, it was a savings all the way.
Yeah. Yeah. We just pay our bill out of the benefits trust.
It wasn't, but it wasn't.
I don't have any. I mean, we've never done anything out of it, just pay the bill and that's it.
Yeah. I think that's what they're doing over there too, because they split your payment in each check, but the bills do it the first of the month, so they pay the bill out of the benefit trust, and then your payment from your check goes into the trust fund to replace it.
They've got something in that has been not looked into a bit, but it looked to me like they had some, they were, at least when they were asking for bids last year, they were looking for some partially funded options, which led me to believe they had some
a larger trust.
But I don't know what all that means. Ours is a flow through.
I mean, I've got
right.
Money from payroll to their pay bill and
know that. So the big term, we'll figure that out. The other thing that I really need some help with is attachment B, the medical proposal form. You'll see we've got a copy of it there, as well as the second list on that single loose sheet of paper are things that Ms. Weddle found that we have on our current declaration sheet that are not on this medical proposal form. And so I don't know, I think they are important. So I don't know if they're included in some of this other stuff on this medical proposal form or not. They don't necessarily appear to be. I need to know if these are specifically listed on our current plan as a benefit. I need to know whether we want to specifically list them on this proposal form or not, and see if they include them or not, and consider that as an extra benefit, or assume there's some cost associated with each one of these things. If we request them to be included in the proposal, I don't know. Some of them may be included anyway in some of this. But I don't really see, so like on a lot of plans, you'll see, well, preventative care, is that what they call it?
Yes, sir.
So I don't see on this proposal anywhere in here where it asks if preventative care is included or ask them to make sure that's included. I don't know if that's just something. I don't know. I'm asking.
I do know that the things that are listed on our current one that are not listed on here, these are some, I'm just looking at the really quick list. They're definitely things that we get called about all the time. So I think that they probably do need to be added to this medical proposal form. Yeah, especially with like the allergy testing and preventative care, all that kind of stuff. So like we needed to. I mean, there may be, that may be part of a plan that maybe that stuff is just listed out in front line, like you said, but I think I would rather it be on there than not be on there. Somebody that gets allergy shots every week, I would hate to have to start paying for those without a copay. And I do know that we've had some employees here lately need DME, the medical equipment that we've had some big issues with. We've had to get special requests and stuff. So I hate for an employee to leave because we didn't include that on our.
What would it hurt to have? Cost, I assume, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I must want to know. I can't tell you if diabetes management is something that is normally included in one of these other plan services, or if that is a special service that if you want, you have to request, and there is an additional consideration of cost in that. I don't know the answer to that question. Same mind. Feel the best piece.
So that could be covered up some of this. Another option,
but I haven't seen anything on here. It looks like that, those problems.
Yeah.
You look through this list of things, I don't know. I mean, maybe
like allergy testing 50 minutes under an office visit, or you know, that kind of stuff.
If it's just a matter of whether or not it's included
right
in their.
Right, like an office plan visit or a specialist visit or something like that. I was just looking at this list that we got here. I don't.
Most of this in my past has all been pretty much included, but I think we'd be remiss if we didn't say include these.
So do you think that they should be included as line items in this complete for each plan being submitted benefits, or should they be a
separate
footnote on the bottom? So I've got room on the bottom of page 24 to put an asterisk there that says our current coverage includes this list of things. We are requesting all respondents to include, or maybe not include, but consider, or no, you know, do something to show us whether these are in or out, and right, if so, what the cost is, or whatever.
Yeah, because earlier in here, you said that we want something comparable to what we currently have.
Yeah.
So,
because I would assume a plan would be cheaper if it did not include hospice care and home health care. I mean, if I was writing a plan, it certainly would be cheaper if those two things were not included.
Yeah. Because many of these are actually to the benefit of the insurance company, diabetes management. Well, if they can get employees to manage their diabetes, then their payouts are a whole lot less. You know, that's the whole idea behind diabetes management, preventive, you know, management. You could even stretch it and say hospice care. I think, you know, hospice care at home is probably cheaper than letting somebody sit in the hospital and rack up big bills and die. So it could be to the benefit of the insurance company.
I just don't. So I think that we ought to mention them in here somehow. I don't know which ones should be listed as themselves, you know, on the list, or whether we should include a note that said these are things we are interested in. These are things that are included in our current plan that we ask all respondents to address.
Yes, I think that's.
I think that'd be better too.
Yeah.
And then they add this, it's an extra.
Because they, yeah.
Also, I mean, it's included in the current process as well. Where these aren't extra. I mean, they might be extra, but they're included in our current process. Brandon, let me send you a completed list. I kind of narrowed it down for your discussion today.
I mean, I did.
Well, I mean,
sorry.
I mean, the EOB is basically this, but then on that back page, it has a few, you know.
Well, they have things listed like maternity care and family planning. Well, it's a $30 copay. It's an office visit, so why write that out?
Right.
Skilled nursing facilities, a $500 copay. Well, that's hospitalization. We already kind of have that covered under our hospital copay, so I didn't write all that out. But I can add all of it because it's something that we're currently covered.
So on that list of things that, let's see, we asked them to consider to give us something that was like what we currently had. So on that list of things, is that included in this list of things? I bet it is. Summary of benefits and coverage.
Yes. Yes. Okay. We just haven't got it all together yet.
So could I? I could just put a provision on here. This said all respondents are requested to consider coverage as similar as possible to our current summary of benefits coverage. It might something right. Put a list of them all and missing some. To let them look at our current little.
I thought that was
in there.
Yes. What
was
this thing called?
EOB explanation of benefits. Actually, I think they called it medical schedule benefit. 3 years ago, it was explanation of benefits.
I put on this thing, at least one plan should match current BSW medical schedule of benefits included as exhibit such and such. That ought to get us at least one plan that matches.
I think so.
Because somewhere in here, what was our objectives? On page 11?
Yes.
Objectives.
Yeah, you put in addition to the
payment. Let's see.
What other alternatives will be considered?
Proposal should include at least one option, options that matches as closely to current benefits as possible. But they've got this, so we're going to have that. Deal and they will be specifically listed in doing these comparisons.
Don't know that we would need to, except for them to put in the new numbers there. I don't know, because some places have, you know, in network and out network.
This is not as important. This attachment B is not as important for coverage as it is for the cost of the things that are covered.
Yes, and I think that's what that's for. Like they're asking, is inpatient care covered?
Matters of good alternatives.
In network, out of network. Stop thing.
That was my other question. I think it's been answered. Good as I'm ever going to figure it out.
I think, Brandon, when we looked at TAC before, some of their plans were they offered, you know, 100% coverage of the in-network and then like 50% of out-of-network. And that's what this is doing, is asking, does this plan cover this out-of-network stuff?
I think I understand now. It's taking me a while to get around to this point, but I think I understand now.
Okay. Help plan to fix that. What else did I have highlighted that I needed some attention on? I don't remember.
It's an exhibit, but you may or may not have to.
Right. So whatever exhibits they do get, we're going to renumber those, fix those, get the right years on them, get them attached, get that ready to roll. So that we can't fix that today. We don't have to wait until we get the stuff. Got it. Scott and Wyatt, and or get it all together, get it all numbered up, and we'll fix that.
I don't know if there was anything else that was called that. Yeah, I'm already fixed.
So, what do y'all think about the dates, about the time frame? So I know I asked, Mr. Grunzer to share the dates that the appraisal district had gone out. You know, he sent me the RFP they sent out. So, I asked him how many responses they got to their RFP.
One. And I don't know if it was because of the size of the group or if it was because of the, I don't know, I have no idea why, but that's all they got. And they gave them, I don't remember how much time, but more time than this. Seems like they're going to be close to 90 days before they.
Well, okay. So we could either approach this from the forward or going backwards. Obviously, we have to have a decision by the time we pass and file the budget. So it's almost, you know, you got to look and say, okay, would July 8th be sufficient for us to evaluate RFPs and consider a would really it's almost like what's our drop dead date?
Well, we gotta give ourselves time to negotiate the contract and get enrollment, you know, get so yeah, I don't know. That's, I think July 8th is pushing it actually. Really? I don't know. Maybe not, but decision day was July. The Commissioner's Court chose.
Yes.
But if we get them on June 16th, that may be
That's just that's 3 weeks for y'all to review them, talk to people, and make a final decision.
We've done these things in less time before. I mean, I'm okay, because that's just like cramming for a finals.
Yes, I think 3 weeks would be and that's pretty much going to be the, I don't know that you could, that it could happen any less time than that, because what if there's two that are really close and y'all want to get them in and talk to them? We got to schedule that. And if they're slow about getting us, you know, how long is it going to take them to get us a contract for the court to approve after y'all make a decision? If you've made a decision on the 8th,
but that's been really fast. But when we tell them we're ready to go, they have it right then. So,
no doubt they've got ours ready.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it changed the number.
And we may not get these. I don't know. We've talked to several people, but show interest.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going to be a week or 10 days. I mean, you can't expect them. They're going. A new vendor, I mean, I wouldn't think you could expect them to have from the day you say, yes, we approve, have it built out, ready, and to us with the option that we choose, because we're going to get options. They're not going to know which option we choose, so they're going to have to get that in there, got to get it to us, we're going to have to review it. I'm not going to assume it's going to be perfect the first time we get it.
No.
I mean, it's going to take a week or 10 days, which would be fine. We look at July, it takes a week or 10 days. Get it approved the second meeting in July.
It would be the 22nd.
Might be able to push it a couple weeks later than that. Be okay.
That kind of goes back to your original statement. And of course, government is so different because, you know, sometimes your negotiating strategies are out the window because of transparency, right? So our goal is to go out, get RFP from multiple healthcare providers, evaluate those, and choose the best. Worst case scenario, this RFP process falls apart. We don't get the stuff we're looking for. We still have the option, of course, to enter in negotiations with our current provider and move on down the road. I mean, not the preferred, but
yep. Maybe the best option for
it. It might be. And we did that. I mean, yeah, you know, we did it kind of at the last minute last year. We were negotiating up until the final, you know, hour of the final day. This is why I think a budget calendar is very important to us, because we got to figure out what our schedule is. But I mean,
I think we ought to give them sufficient time to get good responses. That's the reason I'm bringing this up.
I don't disagree.
I think that June 6th, I had June 9th in there originally, and I changed it to June 16th. So there's no way we're going to get anything back by June 9th.
Right.
It might mean that's just unrealistic to start with. But I'm not sure June 16th is realistic either. That's the reason I think that probably needs to be pushed back, because I don't know that. We're not going to get it out. For the week.
We'd love to say we would get it out, but I don't know that we're looking for right now.
Yeah, maybe two. And so I'm fine with not worrying about that right now and seeing when we get the stuff. And let's get it
put
together. And maybe.
Which kind of goes back to your opening statement of, does the court have a desire to give Ms. McFarland's office the latitude to work, you know, this RFP along with you, you know, to figure those dates out based upon how we get the information in and adjust, as they say in golf, adjust at the nine. And I'm fully on board with that. It's an RFP. You know, I mean,
I think 4 weeks after we receive the Scott White is enough time. Once we receive the Scott White information, I think 4 weeks. But.
And I just don't know.
It also takes.
I don't need it.
Gosh, come on. I used to be in the bidding business. You know, I want the business to get it done.
Yeah, I just don't know as a practical matter. I have no idea how much time it actually takes them to get that information, put it in their system, run their numbers, do their thing, and generate something. You know, I'm sure they can give you an answer in pretty short order, but whether it's a well-thought-out answer, I'd like to have well-thought-out answers, and I just have no idea how long it takes them. So.
Oh, if it goes at normal, we'll say if it's the 16th, they'll start preparing it on the 14th. I mean, yeah, I think they have systems in place. They just plug this in and their system just spits it out. I mean, I don't think it's as daunting as, again, I think I'm willing to, even if we feel like we'll do better, push it out a little bit, and then I'll have to crunch, you know, my time to dedicate more effort to get the analysis done in a short period of time if we have to. But I mean, I always say this about budget time. It's one time a year that we have to focus on things like this and give it our full attention. But like I stated, didn't want to, I'm fully fine with, you know, Mr. Belt working with the treasurer's office and completing this RFP and plugging in the dates that best work to our budget year and budget time. If that makes sense.
Okay. Well, please, so kind of just put this on the agenda for the 27th also, because we need to get an answer on that differential between that fiscal year and calendar year. That may require some decision by the court that me and Ms. McFarland are not going to make. So,
yeah.
I don't know that we'll have, we're not going to have, it'll be a Christmas miracle if we get everything in, get all those exhibits organized and get it ready to go out for next Tuesday. And I don't, and have an answer to this little issue of fiscal year versus calendar year out of pocket max. So, but I feel much better actually about it. It seemed like it. Much better.
Making sure here, I made some notes. You fixed the one, more copies.
I did fix that. And what do y'all think of that? I thought we saw it. We're going to get two flash drives, five complete copies, and an original. That way we'll have an original for posterity. Y'all will have five copies. Everybody else will have electronic that we can look at and print if we want to. It won't want to be.
Let's see if it coincides. I've marked up the first page 11.
So they did ask specifically for the responses to the questions to be in MS Word and the responses to the chart to be in Excel spreadsheet format. I assume that was because they were how they were going to pull them over and dropping in something to grade them or whatever. I don't know. But I just left that slide.
Yeah, on page 11, current insurance, you know, carriers, you know, I expressed before that I don't know this because HIPAA, but I know many of our employees probably utilize, you know, Coriel Health. And I think it's, I don't know if we can put that in an RFP that says, you know, must include Coriel Health as a, you know, provider.
And I think we could certainly include in there that the that one of the alternatives must include
Coriel Health as a provider.
And we told them we want one of them to match our current plan as closely as possible. And one of the things on the grading sheet is directly attributable with local, I can't remember exactly how that's worded, but we might need to look at
access to, right, yeah. Okay, just one other area that I don't know how.
So before we leave objectives on page 11.
Yes.
Do y'all want me to include something in there about where I'm from? And if so, how do y'all want that? Spot to it right after, before, right after the sentence. It says one of the options submitted shall be at or below the current program cost. One of the options submitted shall include Coral Memorial Hospital as an approved provider.
Yeah,
I think so.
Is it? Yeah. What is the
Coriel
Health? Coriel is just Coriel Health.
I believe so.
The name that we have, what we pay them, but because it may be healthcare system.
Okay. But
it is Coriel Health, I know.
I mean, we have employees in here. I mean, I think that's important. There's a lot of people who don't utilize Scott and White. They utilize.
So how would, as a provider, right? That would be worded. One of the options submitted shall include access to Coriel Health as a provider. That worded
properly.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you have to put in network provider. Yeah, I would probably put in network provider. Because they'd say, sure, it's all out of network.
Right.
And currently, right now, the Baylor Scott and White plan allows Coriel Health.
It's just Coriel Health.
It's just Coriel Health.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the options submitted shall include access to Coriel Health as an in network provider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Okay, what else do you have?
I'm scrolling. I made some markups. Which category I put it under? In a nutshell, one of them is, and I've asked this question before, we're always looking for ways to decrease our cost of providing a high level of benefits. And I don't know how the government works. I had it under cost containment programs. And I don't know who polices this, but I've worked for two other companies before that made us sign a form that if your spouse has insurance coverage under their employer, that they must take that insurance and then they can sign up, on the county as secondary if they want. Because there's, let's face it, if we provide a pretty feature-rich, cost-effective insurance, and spouse is working at a different place and they offer it, they're like, oh, you're going to take that one. I'm going to be on this one. And so they just add it to the plan and it, ultimately costs us. Insurance is for employee first. And then I think for children. So anyway, it's just, I made a note, co-insurance. I know we used to have to sign a form that said, my spouse works for so-and-so and is on their insurance plan.
I'm very familiar with the paperwork you're talking about. I don't know all the legalities of exactly what it has to say, but I know I've seen the paperwork you're talking about before. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think that's more of a access to the plan from the county's perspective. Explain the detail. That's our
rule. I agree.
About who can sign.
I think you're correct.
Their rules. So I don't know. I don't think that, it might affect our census, but I don't think it needs to be in here in the RFP.
Well, as we're talking in these insurance experts, we can ask them that, you know, question. I just know that's a strategy, and obviously it was an effective strategy because it's followed me in multiple private companies, and it makes sense. Now, a lot of that was prior to the Affordable Care Act, which now, you know, everybody has access to insurance. But anyway, that's just the thought of one way that maybe. Yeah, obviously, if the spouse does not have insurance, they're a subcontractor or something like that, then they can get them. But if they have it, and I never understood what the, you know, co-insurance, you know, was, that if you could elect to put them on that plan anyway, but the other insurance company had to pay first. No different than us adding on as a liability to a rider. I think that was it. That's all I had on that.
Well, I get these changes made. I'll send it out again. Y'all will read one more time, and then you continue to work on things.
Thank you. Thank you.
We will email and find out about these before they're going to find out.
Thank y'all for your hard work back there. Hang in there with us. I have nothing further on item 6.
Nor that.
No actions to be taken.
Do you see a reason why we need to formalize that motion at all?
No.
Okay. All right. No, sir, not for me.
Noting no actions taken on item number 6, move on to item number 7 on the agenda, which is to consider paying hardware bill to Time Clock Plus.
All right. Time Clock. We need some form of Time Clock due to standards that the Fed monitors. We need some for the grant support that Road and Bridge does. We have a hardware bill out there, which you have a copy of, $1,358.98. So we're currently in hold with Time Clock Plus. My conversations with Rhonda was to get the Road and Bridge issues fixed first and move on to a department that uses it and, you know, try to fix these global settings, etc. But they're kind of, we spent a lot of money on it, but they kind of got us over a barrel. So we're either going to tell them to hit the road or find something else, or what we do. Hardly do. Because it, you know, we've covered till June, but there's two different schedules, I guess you could say, you know, as far as their billing process. You know.
Well, when we originally had this discussion, of course, you know, I expressed my opinion that I think it's crazy to get rid of something that you need when you don't have a backup system plant. It was just, I just thought it was, at the time, I had heard, you know, Justin Latham express, well, gosh, you know, we use it, and then we come and find out that most of the departments are using it in some form or fashion. But they're having to band-aid it themselves as opposed to us asking that company, can you fix our problems? Nobody's ever asked that question. And I think once we ask that question, right, Commissioner, they said, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a vendor can't fix a problem if they don't know you have a problem.
Yeah. I think of some of it's just communications and how it was set up originally and then how it's gone back.
Yeah.
So
right.
I think if Mr. Latham was to address it with them. This is what I need. I think they can do it. I just don't think that we ever actually hear up.
And considering that we do not have another plan in place other than the archaic thought of going to an Excel spreadsheet or something of that sort. Yeah, we don't have another punch-in time clock system that we've even interviewed or looked at or don't know. So, I mean, I just...
And then I looked, it was shared with us, the, what was it, Mr. Wood, the one, two, that plan that
yes, they proposed. Yes, there's various plans out there, yes, sir.
One, two, 1 year, 2 year, then it jumped.
Did it on?
You see me thinking, I think.
Yeah, I don't have that information in front of me, but yes, sir, there's a, the longer you sign up, the bigger discount you get.
Yeah, but the discount wasn't all that grand either, but yeah.
But so basically what we're, and I don't, you know, anybody can say anything about business, but I know that, you know, when I've run businesses, if people owe me money, I pretty much shut off their playground. And that's kind of what they've done. I said, no, you owe us the money. Before we come in and fix your problems, just pay your bills. And I think it's a reasonable request. You know, so I guess today we're considering the $1,358.88 to get us back into the
active
information, right? The information game. And then between now and June is where they have their proof in the pudding of can they fix our, you know, fix the problems that, yes, you know, we have and that we can address. I mean, I personally think it's worth the seed money to see, you know, if I think if we engage diligently with them, they will fix a lot of these problems. And then we'll have to, based upon, I guess, well, I see it right, based upon paying this, engage with them. They work with several of the departments. Then if the department heads and elected officials come back and say, hey, we like everything that they told us they can fix and they can do, and they've actually even done some of this, then we would recommend in June to negotiate the contract. Is that kind of a fair timeline?
Yes.
That's why I asked
you.
Right.
Somebody was at a meeting.
Right. I wasn't aware of this at that time when I was talking to it. So.
One thing we might want to look at is how many departments are utilizing the ARC? Do we know that? I mean,
you.
Yeah, pretty much you.
I think at one time our contract, I don't know, Scott, did y'all have hardware at one time?
They did, but they kind of pulled it up and it never worked. But,
we still have it somewhere.
Yeah, we do.
I don't know if we're going to move forward with going with that. I don't know if they're charging us per unit. I mean, we just need two kiosks out there to log into. We want to go with something even different. It doesn't really bother us, but we would like to have something to clock in so we can manage who's there and who's not.
Well, I think
I understand that. I think your department, it makes sense, right? You've got guys coming in at, you know, early hours, different hours to be able to just, you know, clock in.
We track it that way now.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we track who it is, make sure they got their 40 hours or within reason to it. And then the bank is not working. We did discover because of, I think it hasn't been closed down since 2019. I think you have to close that out for to reconcile your lead banks, all that.
He indicated to me that can be done by department now.
And I think the best way to do that would be just separate each department to where they do their own closeout and doesn't affect other departments. But
yes,
that's a conversation.
Yeah, Justin Brothers, said that very same thing. And I think you're spot on. And as far as hardware, you know, if it's a small office with three or four employees, which we do have, and many of them are, you know, desk jockeys. I have no problem with them logging in from the dedicated ISP of their desktop. But for a group like yours, right?
Yeah, we don't have enough.
Right. Yeah, you've got to have.
You know, we have them in the break room, which is what it is right now. So.
I mean, you know, the two departments would be Sheriff's Department and your department have multiple people coming and going, you know, changing.
The nearly all the alls got are made cell phones. Don't they county issue?
Yeah, we have county issued cell phones.
With the exception of the jail and dispatch.
Yeah, it'd be separated. I mean, theirs would be very similar, but they have different roles.
So, if we could get the accrual working properly, that would take a mountain of workload off.
And he said that too by breaking it up by departments. Based on your hours, based on your duties, that have to be done. That's what he man told me.
They have like an application control or anything like that?
Yeah.
They have an application control.
Yes.
You know, most of our guys will go on duty from the driveway.
There is that option for those that are on the call.
And if you guys have laptops.
Yeah.
Either way.
There's different parameters they can set. According to what y'all say.
There's even geofencing that you can put on that app that says, no, you can't log in to Louisiana, right, or something like that.
I mean, yeah, they got availability. It's great.
Oh, yeah. It does present a problem with some offices because they don't want their employees, you know, sitting at home and they're not supervised, you know, just logging in and saying they're at work. So, as each department or each group would have to make that decision of whether they would allow that app to be available.
My understanding is that this bill is past due. It was due in April. And under our contractual obligations through some click-through contract on the internet that Terry Aslan clicked through and accepted all the terms and conditions to, sometime far away in a distant land, we are obligated to pay this bill irregardless, is their position. I'm sure that I could read through all of those contracts and find in the fine print that we are obligated to pay this bill. I have not done that yet, even though the doctor asked me to. Because I want to wait and see what y'all did before I went to all that trouble. And so, I mean, it's going to be a fight for some period of time over this $1,358.88 irregardless. Y'all need to pay it, get us out of hock, see if we can work with them till we figure out if we're going to renew or not. Or we're going to fight with them for a while over this $1,358.88 that they claim we owe them regardless because we didn't notify them prior to so many days prior to April, I'm not going to continue be needing this hardware. So,
based on that opinion, I'm ready to make a motion. I make a motion that we pay invoice number INB 004-07698 in the amount of $1,358.88 to Time Clock Plus LLC.
Second. There's a motion by Commissioner Weddle, a second by Commissioner Matthews. Is there any further discussion on item number 7? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Ms. Hornigy, will you call the roll, please?
Yes. Commissioner Basham.
Yes.
Commissioner
Basham, yes. Counselor, I mean, I've asked this question before. Is it?
We're in the middle of a roll call vote, if you would hold your comment. We're in the middle of a roll call vote. You will hold your comments until she completes the vote. Ms. Cornegie, if you will continue, please.
Commissioner Matthews votes yes. Judge Miller, how do you vote?
Abstain.
Commissioner Taylor, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Matthews votes yes. And Commissioner Weddle, how do you vote?
Yes.
Chair recognizes Commissioner Weddle.
I think we just need to clear up this point about when it is appropriate for a roll call vote. I guess who can call for it and under what circumstances or pretense? Because sometimes I think roll call votes are just for grandstanding and just, you know, not for the purpose of the business. And if that's so, then and commissioners, I know I'm asking a multitude of questions, but what's the, do you have any clarification on roll call vote? I thought it was only for budgets and.
So believe it or not, there's a long answer to that question. There are some statutes that require a roll call vote. There are some instances where a roll call vote can be requested. One of my confusions regarding that matter is whether or not the Florida County Commissioner's Court currently has any approved rules. I don't know the answer to that question. I know y'all had some discussions about them. Y'all had some. Y'all had discussions about amending them. I don't know that that ever happened. I don't know that I have a copy of them, if they currently exist and are effective. That would be necessary to answer your question in complete detail. But I'll get you an answer. If you could get me a copy of them, my answer will be better if they exist.
Yeah, I saw them one time. I think I might have. It was the rules and decorum of the court produced by a.
Yes, I just have a question about whether they're effective or not, and whether they're valid or not.
And who can call for it?
And I don't know the answer to that question. I have, but they're never followed, so I haven't worried myself much about whether that exists and are valid and effective or not. So
I have no problem with roll call votes. I mean, I would do a roll call vote on every single vote that we have, because I'm proud of the vote, you know, that I say. I just want to know when it's arbitrarily you know, brought before the court, and that's why my personal opinion
is, and I think this is backed up by mostly laws and rules, because Robert's Rules of Orders apply if there's no standing rule that changes it or no or a law that says it. And it's my opinion that the chair can call for a roll call vote anytime they want to. Fairly confident that is the fallback provision. I think, I could be mistaken on this, but I think that there is a provision in Robert's Rules Orders that says any member of the body may request the vote to be taken by roll call. Yeah. But I'll have to confirm that. That big, I don't remember.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Moving on to item number 8, which is to consider contract with Prodigy Solutions for jail commissary.
Numbers in today, obviously they threw one. We have a contract that was proposed to us and goes to our attorney.
Make a motion to accept the contract with Prodigy Solutions for Bill Fishbad.
Second.
There is a motion to accept the contract from Commissioner Basham, a second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion on item number 8?
Yes.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Ms. Cornegie, would you call the roll, please?
Yes.
Commissioner Basham votes yes. Commissioner Matthews, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner Matthews votes yes. Judge Miller, how do you vote?
Abstain.
Commissioner Taylor, how do you vote?
Yes.
Yes. And Commissioner White, how do you vote?
Yes.
Commissioner White.
Members of the court may give closing remarks or reports at the conclusion of each meeting.
The Lord through the rain. That's all I have.
I have no report yet.
Yeah, the rain's nice. We had a fundraiser Saturday night at Turnerville for Saunders. It was nice to see that many people show up and turn out. It was good. It was very good. That's all I've got. I have no report.
We stand adjourned.
Okay, thank you.